Kristen Huntington was 30 years old when she was reported missing on January 10th, 2020, in Fairbanks, Alaska. The discovery of her body days later would unravel details about her violent relationship with Eric Rusted, whose lengthy history of domestic violence would culminate to Kristen's eventual murder. This is a story of Kristen Huntington.
Hey guys, this is Ash.
This is Shiashi.
This is Maggie, and you're listening to We Are Resilient.
Shia friends, so today's episode is a bit lengthy, so we're going to hop right into it, but I do want to quickly address a few listener concerns regarding our last episode. As you can probably tell, Ash is still here.
And
people thought it was her last episode, but I'm just here to say, as a dedicated ARMY, my job is to share with her how great BTS is, but she's still on thin ice here.
I did look them up.
Well, you know what? A Google search is a good first step, so I will let it slide.
Google is my best friend.
So I'll be just a little more mindful of my words so people don't think I'm just booting people out for not liking K-pop.
To kick me out, but I'm back now.
Okay. So a few weeks ago, I dropped a mini episode regarding Robin Gray, a 29-year-old woman from Alaska who was strangled to death by her boyfriend back in 2017. He was arrested, charged, and sentenced to 50 years in prison. If you guys don't remember, I had mentioned that Robin's case was part of a two-part listener request from one of her best friends, Antonia Comeck. As if losing one bestie wasn't tragic enough, she lost two to violence. Kristen Huntington was only 30 years old at the time of her death. On January 10th, 2020, a friend and coworker of Kristen's reported her missing to the Fairbanks Police Department in Alaska. This friend reported that Kristen had been a no-call, no-show at work the last two nights and that she regularly picks up Kristen for work. She stated that it is very out of the ordinary that Kristen would miss work unannounced. She was also concerned because Kristen was involved in an abusive relationship with a man named Eric Rusted, with whom she lived with and had children with. That included a nine-month-old baby and a young son who belonged to Rusted from a previous relationship. So already we have a concerned friend who, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but in a lot of these cases, it's the friends and coworkers that notice something out of the ordinary when it comes to a lot of these cases.
Is this all coming from the friend that reached out to us, all this information?
She was really great about sending us links to a variety of articles that covered Kristen's case. She also sent us public court documents, but everything that I'm using is publicly available information.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Ash?
We've covered a few stories that they were reported missing by their coworkers. And so that's interesting that there's no connection, close connection with their families, that their coworkers are the ones that are noticing they're missing first.
I mean, I talk to my mom pretty regularly, but there are a lot of times where I get busy and, you know, I may not talk to members of my extended family outside of my household for a few days. But it is weird that, you know, she had a boyfriend and it wasn't reported by him.
You know, that's a really good point, Maggie. If you weren't showing up for work for a few days, I would probably know before a lot of your extended family would.
Yeah, Shashi would text me before my mom would text me.
So according to court documents, Rusted had a long history of criminal acts, including multiple convictions for assault and domestic violence. In May 2019, he was arrested for fourth-degree assault and criminal mischief against Kristen. He took a plea deal in that case on December 19th, 2019. But it is noted that there were multiple accounts of violence in their relationship in the days leading up to her murder. On January 4th, 2020, police responded to their apartment for a report of a disturbance and arrested Kristen for biting Rusted. Kristen admitted to biting him, but she said she did it out of self-defense and that she was being thrown around by her hair. However, police did not see any injuries on her, and she ended up being charged with fourth-degree assault. Now, I'm not quite sure how this works or how she was the only one that was arrested. From what I read, he had marks on him and she didn't. So I'm not sure. I guess the police just go based off what they can see and let the rest be figured out in court.
They could even have pressed charges against each other. Like he could say, you know, she committed domestic violence against me by hitting me. And she could probably say the same thing. I've seen cases, even locally, where both parties get arrested.
Yeah. And in this case, she was the only one that got arrested. Now, a bulk of this information does come from the court documents, and I will make them available in the show notes.
Now, when the Fairbanks police responded to the missing report the following day on January 11th, they spoke with Rusted, who stated that he had seen Kristen a few days prior, but he had not seen her since that time, sharing that they had an argument and she left. He did allow officers to walk through the apartment, but they found nothing out of the ordinary. Now, later that same day, Fairbanks police responded to a call from the front lobby of their building to find Rusted with cuts on his wrists and arms. They rendered him first aid until EMS arrived, and it was during this time when Rusted stated, quote, "I know I did it. Fuck, man."
He said that?
Yeah. He had shared with an officer that on the last day he saw Kristen, which was a few days prior, he had got drunk and blacked out. He said he woke up in bed unaware of how he got there. And after waking up, he took his kid to school and then visited another child. And when he returned home, he saw Kristen dead on the floor. This was all that he shared during this time. And I will say that in the articles and reports I read, there was no other mention of the young baby they shared together. So I'm not sure where this baby was during this time. After Rusted's confession, officers reported back to the apartment and didn't find any signs of Kristen. The next day, January 12th, 2020, two officers came back to the apartment complex following up on a report that Rusted had been seen putting bags and items inside a van within the last 24 hours. They were also there to look inside a vacant apartment located right across the apartment that Rusted and Kristen had shared. The apartment manager stated that the apartment had been vacant for some time, since September 2019, so just a few months. When the officers went inside, they noticed a blue blanket halfway inside the closet located immediately inside the doorway. When they looked closer, they noticed the lower half of the blanket was bound with twine and there were human toes sticking out of the bottom blanket.
Wait, so the police checked the home, right?
Yeah, this is the vacant apartment across from the apartment that Kristen and Rusted shared.
So yeah. They had no clue to even check there.
Mm-mm.
But from what I've read, the officers had went to that apartment multiple times and didn't find anything.
What made them look in that vacant apartment? That seems weird.
Oh, they received a tip. That said, you probably should look in this vacant apartment.
Oh, because he had been carrying bags.
Exactly. Now, immediately the scene was processed with detectives noticing damage to the exterior of the doorway into the apartment, consistent with an object hitting the door and marks which appeared to be from a shoe striking the door. There was damage to the door frame consistent with the door having been forced open. So obviously the detectives were directed not to disrupt the scene or unwrap the body. So they were unable to identify the deceased at that time. So on January 13th, if you don't remember, Kristen and Rusted had a baby together, and Rusted's older child lived with them. The older child's mother had called authorities to share that Rusted had abruptly called her on January 10th and said he was putting their child on a plane to return to live with her. When she questioned the child about what happened, he told her that his dad and Kristen were fighting in the living room, and his dad was throwing things at her. The next morning, the house was messy, and he was eating cereal, and Kristen was laying down sleeping with a blanket over her. His dad took him to school, and when he came home at the end of the day, the house was clean and Kristen was gone. His dad asked him if he wanted to move back and live with his mom, and he told him yes.
How tragic for that child.
Yeah, that was a terrible thing to have to witness and to remember.
Kristen was reported missing on January 10th, and I'm not sure where she was in those days that she was missing. But everything that I'm telling you now is from news reports and public court documents. A resident of the apartment complex who happened to be a cousin of Rusted's did share, again, that there was a history of domestic violence between Rusted and Kristen, specifically the morning of January 10th, while they were in that cousin's apartment. The cousin stated that Rusted, quote, threw a bag of trash at Kristen, then held the plastic bag over her face to the point she could not breathe. The cousin was able to pull Rusted off of her, to which Rusted then punched Kristen in the face. Rusted left the apartment, and later that morning, the cousin fell asleep, and when she woke up, Kristen was gone as well.
So is this one of the incidents that you said was documented?
Well, I guess this particular instance was
after the fact, because this was in the court documents and this happened on the same day she was reported missing. But like I had mentioned earlier, there was multiple instances, like the one where she bit him and he was dragging her around by her hair. But just reading what happened to her the morning of January 10th is horrific.
So an autopsy was later conducted and the body was identified as Kristen Huntington. The manner of death determined to be homicide from a brain injury caused by blunt force trauma to the head. The report also included at least two mortal injuries to the back of her head and one large open laceration to the front of her head that penetrated to the skull. A search warrant of the apartment revealed large blood stains on the carpet and an area around the TV stand that had been scrubbed in an attempt to clean up the mess. The stain was consistent with where Rusted's child had observed Kristen lying down, covered in a blanket. On January 16, 2020, Eric Palmer Rusted was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, tampering with physical evidence, and misconduct with the corpse. During a press conference after his arrest, Chief Nancy Reeder stated, quote, "Domestic violence is, unfortunately, a vicious cycle, and often is a cycle that people can't get out of, whether that individual is a male or female, because victims can be both male and female. But it's often a cycle they can't get out of, and they go back off to their abusers." Now, just as a quick reminder for our listeners, Alaska Native women have reported rates of domestic violence up to 10 times higher than the rest of the United States.
And I think that's due to just their terrain. They're so spread out, and then it's the tundra. It's hard to navigate.
What do you mean the terrain? Are you referring to the fact that some of the villages in Alaska are pretty isolated?
Yeah, and they're smaller, and they're just more spread out.
Domestic violence rates are higher among Indigenous mm-hmm. people because of historical trauma. It all ties back to trauma that our people have endured that our bodies and ancestors have not fully healed from, too, you know?
And that's why it's called a cycle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And in some research I've done, it says trauma lasts 7 generations. Yeah. When there's initial trauma, it takes 7 years to heal from it. And I think that we're in our 4th year here as Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, but I think it's time. And I think I see it.
Not years.
7 years.
Sorry, 7 generations. Sorry.
No. I totally get that. Because if we look at MMIW, the reason why it's an epidemic is because it thrives on silence. It's called a silent epidemic for a reason. So if we're not talking about it, and we're not sharing our experiences, and we're not healing from it, it's going to affect our children, our children's children, for those next 7 generations. But I guess what I see as a tribe for the EBCI is that we're taking those steps to healing, and we're talking about things. And, you know, different tribes have these support programs and things to help people who are dealing with domestic violence or dealing with abusive relationships. And how do we as Indigenous people help each other? You know, do you get what I'm saying?
I think what you're trying to get at is that domestic violence is the reasoning behind it is longstanding for Indigenous people because of our history. And I do see what Asha's saying too, you know, out in Alaska where there's nothing around, you're probably going to be more violent or take things out on people close to you. You know, that's what we as humans do. And when you're out kind of isolated by yourself, who do you have other than your partner?
There's just still so much work to be done.
So on February 1st, 2023, Rusted was sentenced to 50 years in jail with an additional 15 years suspended for a period of 10 years probation, in total 65 years. The judge presiding shared the following, quote, "Rusted's actions violated some of the most basic societal norms of family and bodily autonomy." In an article published by the Arctic Sounder, a longtime friend, Adrian Blatchford, said this of Kristen. "She worked really hard no matter what she was doing, and she loved people. People were attracted to her because of her smile and her laughter. She always took a moment to see how you were doing and checked in with her friends and family. She just glowed in so many ways. She was a really amazing person." When I read things like that, you guys, it really, really honestly breaks my heart, because Kristen was a light, and her light was dimmed by abuse. And when I read articles and read comments on social media about
cases of abuse. People want to say things like, why didn't she just leave? Or why didn't she do this? Or why didn't she do that? They're so quick to point the finger at the abused and point the finger at the woman who was murdered so young in life, who probably wanted love and thought she had it and probably blamed herself for the abuse. Speaking from experience, being in a toxic relationship, you will look at yourself in the mirror and you'll say, what's wrong with me? Why do I make him so angry all the time? The guilt and shame in abusive relationships will eat you alive. And Kristen ultimately died at the hands of someone who was supposed to love her.
I don't know. It just makes me think of when people really just point fingers and say, I would have left. You know, I wouldn't have put up with that.
You don't know what you would do unless you're in that situation.
No, nobody knows how they would respond unless they're actually in that situation. Trying to tell people or trying to tell your loved ones what you're going through is one of the hardest things to do because there's so much shame.
Well, that, and it sounds like, you know, she kind of endured a lot of domestic violence where she maybe wasn't believed. If there was a situation where she was arrested through an interaction, you know, she loses trust in the system in that way too, because, mm-hmm. you know, ultimately it's pretty clear that she was the victim.
Exactly.
Yeah. And children lost their mom and a mom lost her daughter yep. and friends lost their best friend. It's always hard when you break it down like that. Like she was really, really something to somebody. You know, she was really important to them and their lives will never be the same all because of the actions of one person.
I was just going to say, you know, like we were talking about when you say that, you know, our tribe feels like it's getting past some of the trauma from our ancestors. This family now has to live through 7 generations of the trauma that this person caused to their family. So her kids, mm-hmm. her grandkids, her great-grandkids, you know, everyone in this family will experience trauma from this violent act.
And that's why it's so hard to get ahead of this, because this cycle is continuous. MMIW is continuous. So real quick, before I finish up this episode, I just wanted to say a quick thank you to Antonia Comack. She was the one who brought these cases to our attention. I cannot imagine what she has dealt with, losing 2 best friends to violence. I just want to thank her for trusting us with these stories.
And for her for being a voice to the voiceless. Without her, mm-hmm. you know, being an advocate, some people may have never heard this story.
So I'm going to end this with a quote from Adrienne Blatchford, who I quoted earlier from the Arctic Sounder. And she just put it so eloquently that there's really no other way to say how she said it. She said, quote, there's so much going on behind all of this, like the MMIWG movement, and so much language that's carried with it about inaction in our communities, and the police not being involved, and the media not highlighting these stories. Kristen was such an amazing light. She was a beautiful woman, and she tried to leave that relationship. Her family and people around her encouraged her. Kristen was in a place of trauma, and she ended up staying in the relationship. People who have experienced intimate partner violence and those who have worked with it for years understand how hard it can be to leave. Behind the story of a woman with a family who experienced domestic violence and was killed is the story of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. It's a story that always starts with an individual, a person with a life and a legacy that ties into a much larger and more complex issue that has touched every corner of this country. Thank you for listening to We Are Resilient. For links to information found for this episode, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at We Are Resilient Podcast. Send us an email at weareresilientpod@gmail.com or visit us at www.war-podcast.com.